Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, how are you doing, man?
Oh, man. I'm happy that it's the weekend, but I'm sad that the weekend's mostly over.
It's over. Yeah, dude, I'm like, looking at my... I gotta look at my vacation time. I think I need a three-day weekend here soon. I need an extra day to sleep in.
Yeah, I just gotta make it to October, and then I get 2 weeks off.
Yeah, that's how I feel about September. It's like, I gotta get through this month. But I gotta burn some more time anyway, so I think I have like 4 vacation days left.
Yeah, I saw a post on Reddit, and someone made the post. It was like, it's not illegal to take time off. Like, if your company makes you feel bad for taking time off, it's their fault. It's not your fault. Like, you know, if your company isn't hired enough people, and you try to take the time off, and they're like, but you're gonna leave us shorthanded, and it's like, no, you've left us shorthanded. Like, if me missing a day makes us so shorthanded that we're gonna not be able to operate, then you should probably hire more people, not make me feel like a dick for missing time.
Yeah, that's like, in one of my departments, I'm like, is this person not here today? They're like, yeah. I'm like, I could tell. You guys need to do better at cross training. it's a joke that I could tell when this person is on or off work.
Right. If you can tell when one person is missing, then you know the ball doesn't roll very far.
No, it does not.
Like one of the posts on there where they're saying that like they got like super sick and had to go to the hospital, and while they're in the hospital, they got a call from their job saying that they like needed to come in because they were shorthanded, and so they went in the day after getting released from the hospital, even though they didn't get released till like 2 a.m. They still went in, and they weren't like performing up to speed, and the company was like, management was like yelling at them for going slow.
Oh boy.
Yes. Like at my job before, they ended up putting in answering machines, but because there was this manager that would, no matter where he was in the offices, he would run to answer the phone. Like the phone would start ringing and you would hear him running, and he would pick up and like, you call in, it's like, hey, I'm calling out sick. And it's like, are you really sick? Cause we're going to need you today. And he's like, you know what? Can you just come in for a little bit? And if you just start not feeling good, just tell your supervisor that I said you can go home. And of course some people fell for it, and so they'd come in, but once you're in, you're bound by seniority, like as far as order to go home necessarily, or up to the supervisor. So like the person would be like, hey, you know what, I talked to Ben said like if I came in and just at least helped out with the setup or doing this part, like I can go home. And the supervisor's like, that sounds like a problem between you and him. I'm not him at all. I didn't make that deal. So
damn.
Yeah, so people learn pretty quickly, like, just to ignore. Like, I would just, like, when I called in, I'm like, hey, this is Daniel Groves, I'm calling in sick. And I'm like, can you come in? I'm like, you got that, Daniel Groves? And he's like, yeah, Daniel Groves, sick. And I'm like, cool. And then I just hang up. I don't need to hear your
speech. Beep, this is a recording. Daniel Groves, sick. Daniel, sick. Sick.
Yes, pay me sick pay. So, you know, you thought I was like dead or asleep because I was like late for the recording.
Yeah, because it's usually, you're not usually late, so. And usually, so like usually you're like sleeping because you decided to relax your eyes for a little bit.
Take a 10-minute nap and sleep through my alarm, and it's 45 minutes later. You mean?
Exactly.
So I was, the reason I was late, Sean, is because I tried to open a fancy waxed beer. It not only like was it fancy wax, but then it had like one of those like heavy duty like double size beer caps on it, so like a normal bottle cap opener doesn't fit over it. And so I had this one. I've had it for years, and I couldn't find it. It was like an industrial size one practically that I ended up getting because years ago I lied to Marlboro cigarettes
and said you smoked cigarettes.
Well, because they used to have like Marlboro girls at the racetracks, and yeah. Like. Because back when cigarettes were allowed to sponsor racing events, and race car drivers actually made money for winning races as opposed to just, like, barely being able to afford to, like, the travel fees to get there. So I I want free stuff and I want to talk to this really hot girl. So I lied and said that I smoked, like, 2 packs a day.
I smoked 2 packs of tobacco cigarettes.
And so as a result of that, I ended up getting like free tickets mailed to me just random, like to like every race at the racetrack in Fontana. And then a couple other like freebies include like a camping spoon, this bottle opener, and a couple other like smaller things, but still freebies. So, you know, lesson there is like, it's okay to lie to evil corporations.
I like cowboys and not camels.
Exactly. So, because I couldn't open up the fancy one and it was late, I just grabbed a can of beer.
Oh, so you didn't even get to your prize yet, huh?
No, I did not.
Oh.
So.
What a sad ending to this story.
It is, man. So I have a neighbor that he's into beer, and so like if I'll buy like a 4-pack of beers, I'll give him one out of there because I generally don't like, I'll kind of get tired of drinking all 4 of them, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's like an amazing beer, I'm like, ah, I'm ready to try something different.
Yeah, dude, the single life is the best.
Yes, and so like that's the one thing that I kind of dislike about La Bodega is between the 3 that I go to, Smart Time, El Cerrito, and La Bodega. La Bodega is the least, has the least amount of options as far as singles go.
Yeah.
Versus the other two. So, you know, I've given him beers and he's like, oh man, like, let me get you some beer. And like, he offered me some, like, he had like some Sam Adams, but it's like sitting in his garage, like in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not a big fan of it either. And I'm like, nah, it's cool, man. I'm not a big fan of IPAs. Like, also, I don't want garage IPA.
Get that skunk away from here.
Right, man.
You're letting like, all the stink out.
I think the only person that would want to put that in its mouth would be Pepe Le Pew after, like, chasing it around and harassing it. But,
why would he leave beer in the garage?
I don't know. And so, the other day I came home from work and, I brought my stuff in, but I had forgot that I bought stopped at La Bodega and dropped another $170 on, like, 6 bottles of beer.
Respect.
And so I had to go back out to the car and get it, and he had just gotten home in between the time that I had walked in the first time to walk out. So when I was walking back in with the beer, he was like, oh, wait, I got a couple of beers, you want? And it's from this brewery in Corona called Evans Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, part of me was like, just say no, because I don't want garage beer. But then I guess he had a beer fridge in there that I didn't know about because he brought out 2 beers. They were actually cold.
That's good. Maybe and he so improved.
One of them I had, but like had forgotten until I saw the can. But mm-hmm. I don't mind getting a second one. It's their red.
Yeah.
And it's called Joaquin Red. And it has like a bunch of different Joaquin Phoenix like characters on it that he's played in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one the other one he gave me that I actually opened is called Hef Leopard. It's a classic Hefeweizen, and it's painted like with the British flag, like it's a Def Leppard cover, album cover.
Okay.
And it's part of their Hail to Rock series.
Hmm.
It says, Hef Leopard is an unfiltered Bavarian-style Hefeweizen, brewed with a hint of orange peel and coriander. It's got a rich, creamy head that will never leave you high and dry. Only the highest quality ingredients are used at Evans Brewing. You will taste our craftsmanship in every swallow. There's a lot of, like, sexual innuendo right there, man, between the head and swallowing.
Yeah, man, I need to buy me dinner.
I know, right? Like, creamy, you want to swallow that creamy head, huh?
Can I say trap on here, or will I get banned?
We'll talk about that later. The Hail to the Rock series is a nod to excellent handcrafted beer and classic rock. One sip and you'll be banging your head in agreement, and we're not fooling, which is a Def Leppard reference.
Mm.
And so, you know, I was kind of sipping on it as, like, we were setting up or whatever, discussing, and I'm like, what is that weird, like, there's, like, a taste to it that I'm not familiar with, and I guess a big part of it is because I kind of gave up drinking Hefeweizens a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because when bootleg, I don't know if it was the beer or the facility, you know, like, because it wasn't at a official, like, brewery, it was at a restaurant.
Yeah.
I tried a bootlegger's Hefeweizen, and it just tasted like baby vomit to me.
Yeah, that's probably not a good sign.
Right, and so I read, like, that's like and I'm like, people are like, wait, you know what baby vomit tastes like? I'm like, well, I've smelt it, so I can only imagine, like, you know, that's what it tastes like?
Yeah.
But so I was reading, like, that's one of the off flavors if a beer is the baby vomit. So I'm like, okay, good, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, so it was probably just a bad batch.
Or either that, or like,
or there was
something wrong with the lines at the restaurant. Like, maybe they didn't clean their lines properly or something.
You gotta clean, gotta flush those lines.
Exactly. The, like in Cabin Boy, these pipes are clean. Did you get that reference, or are you too young?
I'm too young, but I think I thought it was hilarious.
It's basically he lost his virginity. And that was his reaction after losing his virginity.
Gotcha. It's a dumb way to say it, but it's pretty funny. It's even more funny now.
Exactly. It's actually it's one of those dumb funny movies, like back in the day when they're more innocent versus, like, you know, being forced to be PG.
Mm-hmm.
It had I can't think of his actor's name, but he had a TV show where he was like a newspaper delivery boy as a grown ass man and lived at his parents' house. And the theme song was REM's Stand. Chris Elliott, I want to say? I don't know. It's not that important. I'm sure someone will correct me. I'm sure, well, and by someone, we know who. But yeah, it's the coriander is the flavor that I'm getting in here.
Oh, gotcha.
And this is actually, I mean, you can smell the orange and the spicy from the spice of the coriander.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good drinking beer. Like, I part of the reason why I didn't want to open it is because I figured this would be a good beer to have after a day of work when it's hot outside.
Yeah.
Versus trying to open something fancy like a quadruple Belgian that's aged in port barrels for a year, which is what I was planning on opening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I everything I've had from Evans Brewing, I've had like four of their beers so far, and they're all really good. They had one, Hazy for Harambe was the beer.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, their naming conventions are pretty good. Like, they're not completely stealing, like, IPA every single time. Like, it's not like they're going balls deep in IPA theft. I mean, they'll make references and innuendos or whatever, but it's not full-on theft.
Yeah.
And they make good beer. And it, like I said, they're in Corona, but they're on the western side of Corona, towards, like, the Anaheim Canyons closer area.
Okay.
So I just haven't had a chance to head out there because, you know, life and quarantine.
Quarantine, yeah. Quarantine's ruining my whole, you know, East Coast traveling.
So what you drinking, Sean?
So I've decided to go back to Moonlight Meadery. So a couple weeks ago, I had one of their meads, and I have another one today. This one is called Wild. This is this is made from New England Wild Mountain Blueberries and Wild Flower Honey. So this is a 14% ABV, and
sounds pretty wild.
Wild. It's funny because I was actually on their website. Like, they have a pretty cool website, and I think it's kind of ridiculous that you could join their mailing site to get mead, but I can't, even though they're in New Hampshire. They deliver to 35 states, and New Jersey is not one of them.
Well, you could. I think you can order from Superstition Meadery, though, that's based in Arizona. I think they deliver to, like, 40 or 50 states, like 45 states or something like that, with like Pennsylvania being like the exception or weird prohibition causes the laws are still in effect.
When you don't want to pay the state money to ship to them.
Yeah, exactly.
But they actually have some like more meads that sound really good. They actually have some of their older meads from like 2012 that won gold medals that you could buy, but they're like $150 a bottle. I was like, well, damn.
It is the model standard of gold, Sean.
It is. But as far as wild goes, it has that tart blueberry hit in the front, and it has a very dry aftertaste based off the tasting. It's pretty good though. It's if you're definitely not into overly, because I think the tartness does have some nice sweetness to the mead, so it's not like you're drinking like super dry champagne, but it does have a more dry finish if that's kind of your thing away versus having like a sweet wine or sweet mead.
Right. It's like it's not quite full like dry champagne, but it's also not drinking, you're not drinking like a bottle of syrup.
Exactly, which is probably going to be in one of the next episodes because I got the apple pie one, and that one is ranked like max sweet. So I'm looking forward to drinking that syrup.
You just what's it called? Reduce it down on, in a pot and in a saucepan and use it pour it over some pancakes.
Probably. They on their website they have a bourbon barreled apple pie one based off. They took like the apple pie recipe, which I have a bottle of, and they aged it. So that might be good to buy, and it's not that expensive.
Nice.
Hopefully, I can just go to the liquor stores around here and purchase it.
Maybe I'll order some and just to rub it in your face.
Would appreciate it. I could have them ship it to my work because they ship to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, like it's fun now. Like I didn't think about doing it, but then Jody gave me permission, and so I've done it once at least to try it. I can have stuff shipped to her work address because there's always an adult there. Versus like for a while when I was part of a whiskey club, like the guy they would literally show up like 5 minutes before I'd get home from work.
Yeah, they would.
And then I'd end up having to go like to the to their warehouse distribution center for the shipping company and pick it up in person anyways.
Yeah.
Which luckily for me was like right around the corner from where I work, but still. I paid for shipping, not picking up. Oh man. So there's a tap like a brewery or a tap room, I can't remember exactly what, in Dayton, Ohio, called Branch and Bone. And they did a barrel-aged beer, and they were able to get some Pappy Van Winkle 15-year barrels to age their beer in. And so they decided, and I like this, like when I heard about this, the person that was talking about it was almost like making fun of it, and then he was like, "But it sold out in seconds, so I guess I'm the idiot." But maybe if this becomes a thing, like if other breweries or whatever see this, it might become a thing because why not make money any way you can? Even though people say that, you know, you're not allowed to make money being in beer. They took barrels of the Pappy barrels and basically like turned them into wood chunks and then sold the wood chunks.
Gotcha.
So with the intent that people who smoked meats at home could use the wood chucks, wood the chunks of wood in their smokers.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a wood could chuck a wood?
Pretty much, yes. And surprisingly, they weren't gouging on the prices. I guess it was like $6 for like a pound of wood.
That's not
But
too
you'd need
bad.
that nice whiskey beer smoke into your pork butt. So
Yeah, smoking something would be pretty good. I haven't made anything in probably like a month now.
no.
No, it's too hot outside. I don't want to go out there.
I guess luckily, like you only have to go outside every once in a while. It's not like actually barbecuing, like grilling, where you have to stand by it the whole time.
Tell me about it, man. I hate summer, man. It's the worst. It is literally the worst month. Got like fucking mosquitoes. You're fucking always hot and sticky. It's just
Wait, did you say month? Summer is the worst month?
the season.
Okay, because I'm gonna say, I mean, summer's like technically 3 months. I don't know how long it lasts in New Jersey, but in California, at least in the Inland Empire, it's like four, it's like 6 months of the year is summer.
That's why I can't go back to SoCal now. I can't deal with 6 months of heat.
Dude,
It's too hot.
it's like it starts getting hot around like Easter, and it doesn't like not, it's like kind of starts cooling off around Halloween.
And then you get random days of like 90 degrees in January.
Right, or Christmas. Christmas is like 90 degrees, but it's a like ultra dry heat, so it just even sucks even more.
Wanted to wear my flannels, but I can't.
I know, man. Like I want to wear my hoodie. I have like hoodies. I have a bunch of hoodies, but I get wear them like once a month, maybe. It's bullshit. Oh, man. Speaking of bullshit, Sean. So, you know, you had mentioned that you're a lady friend likes the pickle beers.
Yep.
So Oscar Blues decided for a special day, August 1st, which is National Mustard Day.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to make a mustard beer. Which is only made worse by when you hear what the base layer of the mustard beer is. It was like a tropical wheat beer that they added mustard flavors to.
Why would they do that? It's terrible.
I mean, the pickle beer sounds terrible too.
I feel like you could add mustard seeds to certain beers. I think it would work out. You know what I mean? I feel like
a lager or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
But not a fruity tropical wheat beer.
Nah, I don't think a fruity tropical beer is in the wheelhouse.
No. Oh man, but like it would have been fun, I guess. Like if you want to try it to get like if you could get your hands on the mustard beer and a pickle beer and like a corned beef sandwich or something and just like mix the two of them and drink the beer while you're that beer concoction while you're eating your sandwich.
Yeah.
Or a pastrami sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The bottles look like, I mean, the cans look like the French's mustard logo and everything. I don't know, man. Sometimes people have to ask, not just if they can, but if they should. And then there's this senior center that has decided to, in addition to the normal activities that senior citizens do, like playing bingo and just complaining about kids, they decided to add to the itinerary beer crafting, beer brewing.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say give them switches, so that way they could just sit all day just playing random Switch games.
They did that for a while with the Wii,
mm-hmm.
trying to get them active and like give them like Wii bowling and stuff.
Yeah,
but not the Wii U because nobody played the Wii U.
No, they just play the Switch.
The only reason Wii U is any good is because then you can make fun of Nintendo fans by imitating the European police sirens. Wii U, Wii U, Wii U.
Yeah, dude, I'm like staring at my Wii U right now. I didn't even open up the box for Super Smash Bros. Should probably just donate it.
and it'll be like when I tried to donate my old school like LCD TV with the built-in DVD player and VHS player.
Yeah.
And the guy at the Salvation Army was like, "Dude, don't even take that out of the car, man. We don't accept those. Like, you know, like you got to take them and like basically get it recycled or throw it away or something."
I figured like a children's hospital would take it.
Yeah, but the Salvation Army didn't. They're like, "Oh, man, just like keep that in the car, dude. We're not taking that." I'm like, "Really? Because people are buying like VCRs, like." If you put up a VCR on Craigslist, people buy it, but I just don't want to deal with that shit, so I figured I'd give you the money. He's like, oh, yeah, no, we don't want it. So it's just, you know, they're like, I wonder if the seniors, though, are actually, like, in the beer brewing process, or if they're just, like, given the activities of, like, cleaning the equipment, like the shit that the people who make the beer don't want to do.
Right.
Like, this guy's, like, a home brewer, and he's like, you know what, man, I love making the beer, but you know what I hate? Cleaning
beer.
And why work at a senior center? I got like basically willing slaves. But I guess because like after the coronavirus, all the quarantine stuff is lifted, they want to have like a family day where the families can come and drink the beer that they've made. So far, I guess they've made like three beers, like a pale ale, a lager, and an oatmeal stout.
Look at them getting fancy with their oatmeal stouts.
Right.
And shit.
And shit. Maybe that's why they're drinking the oatmeal stouts, so they can. And so the other day I was grocery shopping. Well, it's been a couple weeks now. I was grocery shopping and I was kind of perusing the frozen dessert section, looking for an ice cream flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one from a brand that I had never heard of, called Nadamu.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dairy free, right? And I was like, all right, well, and one of the flavors caught my eyes. It was a coffee flavor. It was coffee ice cream with, like, Oreo chunks in it.
Oh, boy.
And so I decided to buy that, and it was actually pretty amazing, Sean. So then I went back, and I bought another flavor, and it was a banana caramel. but it had little chunks of like graham cracker in it or some cookie in it, and so it tastes exactly like vanilla wafers and banana pudding. And then I bought this last weekend, the other day, a third flavor, peach cobbler. And holy shit, dude, it's like frozen liquid peach cobbler, dude. It's amazing, the flavors. And I guess they make it with coconut milk, even though coconuts don't have nipples and you can't milk them. It's like a comedian, Lewis Black, he had that bit years ago. He's like, why is it soy milk? He's like, soybeans don't have nipples. It's soy juice. But they call it soy milk because you kind of gag a little bit in your mouth when you say soy juice. But I know your lady friend is vegan-ish.
Yeah.
Is she full vegan?
No.
She's vegan. So she was once vegan, now she will be gone?
Yeah, she eats honey and only eats like a certain brand of eggs. And that's it.
I see. So I highly, even if you're not like, even if you're not lactose intolerant or vegan or whatever, like I highly recommend this frozen dessert treats if you're looking for something pretty tasty to eat. Oh man. But then Sean, the gaming world isn't up in arms.
When are they not angry?
Right. I found this meme and it was like, difficult, and it was like Cuphead, and it was like hard, Cuphead, harder, Dark Souls 3, hardest, enjoying games instead of complaining about them.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, with the Destiny expansion pack getting pushed all the way to November, I know at some point I'm going to hit the good old wall after I complete some more stuff, but, I definitely want to play Last of Us 2 and give it, like, a fair breakdown and see, you know, get a good understanding what it is. But, yeah, dude, it seems like everything is just... There's no good games to play, basically, unless you're playing, like, Dark Souls or that new Samurai game, because everything else is just absolutely shit on.
Right, even though, like, the actual reviews from people who actually played The Last of Us enjoyed the game. It was just the people that were still angry about like leaks that weren't even true, but they still believe it was true, because why else would people lie about leaks?
Yeah.
It's on the internet. It must be true. You know, there's like that old kids cartoon Arthur.
Yeah.
And like, he was like looking at, he's seen some online, and his friend's like, that's not true. And he's like, wait, why would people go on the internet and lie?
'Cause they're assholes.
Yeah. So the thing that has everybody up in arms, which is kind of ironic because when this game was like premiered at like E3 last year, mm-hmm. like it was met with like collective yawns, or collective mocking, was the Avengers game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came out that Spider-Man is going to be in the Avengers game, but only on the PlayStation.
That's hilarious.
And so, of course, you know, like, PlayStation, like, the two different subreddits on Reddit are, like, complete opposite views. Like, the Xbox One subreddit's like, don't buy this game, just don't give them your money, like, this is just pure corporate greed. And it's like, yeah, but Xbox has different console exclusives. Like, you know, just because your guys's console exclusive sales rep sucks, don't get that mad.
Exactly. You should have thought of more stuff besides Gears 6.
Right, like I saw a meme and it had like Nintendo and like PlayStation like characters like sitting in like chairs all huge, and then like a little Xbox person, and it just had Halo next to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But basically, like, the main reason why Spider-Man's a PlayStation exclusive is because Sony owns Spider-Man.
Durr.
Right. And I was trying to find the guy's name, but there's a guy, basically, he was like, works with PlayStation Gaming, and he said that, yeah, that's basically his job, is he goes to all the third-party developers to try to get as many console exclusives as he can. Like, that's how the game works. Like, he's like, Microsoft is doing the same thing for the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they've had, like, you know, I guess gamers are starting to, like, I guess, rise up against, as the subreddit says. So I guess that's one of the things, besides microtransactions, that they're upset about is the exclusives.
I mean, the problem is then, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like it's another topic that's just, like, whatever. Just, I mean, it sucks because, like, you have to buy multiple both consoles, I guess. But in the same sense, like, if you could get every game on every console, then what else can you, how else can the other, you know, the different companies, like, fight for you to buy that console? You know what I mean?
Right, and we all don't have brownie money, but the lack of time to buy every game on every console, but the lack of time to play any game on any console. Because she's too busy working, making money to buy the games on every console. The brownie conundrum. Oh, yeah. Man, but...
You know what her next thing is, too? She wants to buy a PC. When she buys a house, she's going to buy a gaming PC, too. So then she'll have three different things to buy it on.
Three different, yes, and not play it. Oh, man. And I guess, speaking of PC real quick, I guess apparently the Horizon Zero Dawn port is buggy. And so people, like, aren't waiting for a, like, patches to fix it. So they're, like, trying to immediately get refunds. And even though, like, they, you know, people are saying on Reddit, even though that they meet the criteria to get a refund, like, if you pre-order a game, you have, like, up to 2 weeks and so many hours into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can refund it. And I guess people say that whenever they go through for the refund process, the screen pops up that refund is unavailable for them.
For the pre-order?
For the people that pre-ordered the game, yes. For Horizon.
Why are they trying to cancel it?
Well, they're trying because the game's out, and like I said, apparently the port is bad. It's a bad port, whether it's buggy or it just doesn't didn't translate from the console to the PC for some reason.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know, but... And then I felt personally attacked, because people were like, yeah, if people buy like, the game so they can get... Like, pre-order the game so they get, like, exclusive levels that they probably don't even end up playing, or they spend, like, £250... I'm guessing this is a British dude. £250 to get, like, a big box with a statue that they're probably not going to display. And I'm like, oh, yeah, my Horizon Zero Dawn Collector's Edition with the figure that is in my closet in the box.
I mean, Destiny, I get all sorts of cool emotes and finishers, and you know, I guess I get ghost shells that I just throw in the vault because I don't care about.
Right. Important shit like that.
Yeah, I need more emotes, man. I need more than four. Like, it's starting to get out of control. Like, how else am I supposed to shit talk people? You
right.
know, after you murder them.
Teabagging's like the old people now.
Exactly. That's just childish. Like, let me use a cool emote after I kill you.
Exactly.
It's interesting. Danny, I know you don't care, but I changed my PvP style to sniper rifle and sidearm to be extra salty or sweaty in a PvP. I actually started downing some people finally after lots of practice. I actually had my clan actually going, wow, you're actually getting good at that. I was like, yes, hours of practice for fucking nothing. You know,
hours of practice for praise from people that I will probably never ever meet in my entire life.
I mean, I met Quatros, the second coming of Gecko.
Right, the better Gecko. Yeah, Gecko 2.0, the improved Gecko. Which, I mean, to be fair, isn't hard to improve upon that.
That is true. That is true. No, I think, I'm sure with some new news going on in my family, I actually might meet a couple people. I'm trying to think of who else. There's like it's funny because there's like some guys in Ohio that I never knew were in the. Of course, like I like after joining the clan, I like moved away. It seems like a repetitive nature of mine, but there's actually like a couple guys in out in Georgia as well. And then recently we added some UK folks, so we have a couple Scots playing. So when they get very
You have nicknames for them so that they don't all just respond when you say, "Hey, Scott."
No, I just call them by their name. That's the other thing too. Do UK gamers, are they just more comfortable with putting their name out there? Like, there's like a Kevin something, and then there's like, you know, Bulldog Nick, and there's Steve yada yada yada. It's like they have to add their name to their gamer tag.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
Is that just a UK thing? Because it's starting to bother me now that I think about it. Because one of them started calling me Sean, and I'm like, dude, we're gaming. You don't call me that, man. It's confusing.
Don't use my... Dude, it's like in Avengers when they like meet up, like Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and stuff, and he's like, "Hi, I'm Peter Parker." And he's like, "I'm Doctor Strange." He's like, "Oh, we're using our made-up names, huh?" Is it like that?
Basically. That's how I feel like him. Like, come on, man. Come on. See, that should be my plan, is to befriend them, and then eventually when COVID stops, if I ever decide to go traveling, I could at least have like a tour guide.
Right. A couch to crash on.
Yeah.
You already know the dude's name, so you might as well be family.
Exactly. So now I got England, Scotland, and Australia covered right now.
Sweet, dude. Good eye, Mike. You've got a friend. Just don't say put another shrimp on the barbie, because they don't call it shrimp. They call them prawns.
I don't remember what I say the other day. I'm starting to like memorize everybody's time zones, because we always talk about it now. And when you game so much, you know what time it is. And I was like, "Oh no, it's only noon in upside down world." It was funny because like the girl in Australia was like, "Upside down world? Do you mean me?"
Yeah, she lives in the upside down.
Good times.
Yes.
So yes, long end of the story, I'm trying to be a good sniper.
You just gotta use auto aim, dude. Bots.
I try. No. That's weak sauce.
Oh yeah, you're not a PC gamer either. You actually like want to try. You don't want to just like brag how the mouse and keyboard is way more better at aiming and controlling, and when all you're really just doing is using an aimbot the whole time.
Exactly.
Like, when I was playing Final Fantasy 14, there was a guy in my free company that was a, like, avid PC gamer, and like because of all the mods, and he would always want to play. He would, you know, when he wasn't playing Final Fantasy, he was playing Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Except he would get like he would load up all his mods and sit through the load screen, and then he'd like have an error, or the game would crash or something, and you have to like back out of it and start over again. And it's like he was getting pissed just loading into the game. And so like anytime anything would go wrong with his PC, just to, you know, because the nice, considerate, you know, gaming pal that I am, I would be like, you know what doesn't have those problems? Consoles. I've never had my console crash like that trying to load a game.
Right.
You're just like, you know what, fuck you, man. Like, don't be mad because I'm right.
That's how you know you won the fight.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, on last week's episode, I talked about the Halo 5, Sean.
Oh,
but there's Halo. One thing that I wanted to discuss about Halo 5.
What about Halo 5 do you want to discuss?
So, you know, for a while they were talking about making a Halo movie.
I remember that. I do remember that. That's, dang, man. That hurts. That hurts. That's going way back.
Right. And so, basically, it was all set up. They had a director and a writer and all this stuff, and then it fell through. And so then that team paired up to make District 9.
Interesting.
The South African, like, alien apartheid movie.
That was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you got that movie because you didn't get Halo.
Big sad.
So, you know, especially Halo 5, like, the cutscenes, it's like, dude, this is better than any Halo movie. So, like, I think if they do make a Halo movie, Sean, they need to go the DC route and make it animated. Because I think you just could do weird, like, crazy things with the animation that you couldn't do with live action. And the budget would be astronomical to try to do it live action.
That is true. Yeah. But Microsoft should just put out the money to do a Halo movie. I feel like it would be, I think if you got reasonable people, you really already have a script. Like, you have multiple games.
Yeah, they'd find a way to fuck it up, because they'd take all the shitty parts out of all the games instead of any of the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, and Danny, I think the problem with trying to take a game and make it a movie is most of the game you're, like, fighting and killing stuff. There's not a lot of story. You just get, like, you know, you have points that you're hitting, but mostly, you know, you're fighting through things. So I think it's like, how do you translate that fighting? And then the other part, too, is you should just have some fantastic, like, fight scenes as well.
Right. And that was, in the cutscenes, like, that was the other thing that, as awesome and as the fight, the cutscenes were, there was one thing that bothered me about it, is because, like, whenever you're, like, fighting the Covenant in the cutscenes,
mm-hmm.
like, all your weapons are, like, one shot, one kill.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's an elite. Headshot, he's dead. But in the game, it's like, I just unloaded a whole clip into that dude's head, and he's still standing.
Dude, his shield was up. Come on, man. In the cutscene, his shield was down.
I don't know, man. I call bullshit, dude. Like, if you're going to be that, like, badass and heroic in the cutscenes, like, either tone it down in the cutscenes or make it better in the game.
Yeah. That's fair.
Oh, so, man. Sean...
Life was so much simpler when it was just Halo out there.
Or Halo 3 with the customizable Forge maps.
Yeah.
That I never did, but I guess other people talk about, so apparently that's a good thing.
I don't know, man. I just remember playing Halo on, you know, Legendary and just destroying. And then it was like Halo 2 when you first got to play online. First console online, dude. That was pretty intense. Good times. Staying up late.
Exactly. Staying up, like, I'm just going to play one more game, and then 5 hours later.
True.
Oh, man. So, as you alluded to at the beginning of the show, Sean, Reddit, the anime subreddit, have decided to ban the word trap.
Trap. It's
Did you see the thing that I sent to you during the episode? I don't know if you look at your phone during the episode.
Oh, I always look at my phone, don't worry.
I figured you did. The meme that I sent you. So it's like five different, like, faces. It starts off smiling, and then the smile gets a little bit smaller, then it gets sad until the end, or just, like, super depressed. So it's like the first one is like, anime subreddit is banning the word trap because it's occasionally used as a slur for trans people. And even then they had to censor the word trap, I guess, so they didn't get banned for using it.
Yeah.
And it's like fantasy and mythology subreddit is banning the word fairy because it's occasionally used to refer to gay men. Sewing and craft subreddit is banning the word doll because it's occasionally used as a degrading nickname for women. D&D subreddit is banning the word changeling because it was occasionally used as a slur for mentally disabled children 200 years ago.
What?
Reddit deciding... What's that?
That's a thing?
Yes, apparently so.
Oh, wow.
And it's like Reddit deciding to ban speech in general because every word in existence can, has, and will be used in a mean or offensive manner, and heaven forbid someone, anyone, gets their feelings hurt.
Boom chakalaka.
So, I guess there was a mass exodus of people from our anime memes. You know where they all went, Sean?
Where?
Hentai memes.
Of course.
Because hentai accepts the word trapped.
Yeah, they do. It's kind of weird because I guess there's two parts to it, Danny. I think there's two issues going on, right? So... The first one is obvious, is, you know, is trap offensive? But the second one, I think, really comes out to, you know, as the, you know, are the moderators being communicating to the, you know, the people about some of the things that their view are? Because, you know, part of it was the issue is they just came out and made the ban and didn't say anything, didn't ask for feedback. They just said, hey, as of today, trap is banned. So I feel like there's two major issues going on with this, and I think a lot of the hate is not necessarily around the word trap. I almost think there's more issues on that subreddit about how, you know, they decided a rule without talking to the people and just starting to enforce it.
Right, and it's not like trap is a word that's always used. It's not like the N-bomb where that you know exactly what the meaning behind that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's occasionally used as a slur or occasionally used. It's not all the time. So I don't know. I mean, at what point?
Well, if you could say the word trap and you have, is it really that offensive compared to the N-word?
Right. But it's not a matter of as offensive. It's just like the meaning, you know, I guess it's part of it is that the moderators don't want to spend the time looking at the intent behind the use of the word.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, you know, school punishment or military punishment where it's like one thing, one person does something wrong, so everybody is going to be punished for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I could see from that point of view of, well, we're not going to literally go through and read every post that has the word trap in it.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that that wasn't an offense or can't be something that was taken as an offense. It's weird. It'll be interesting to see, like, how it goes. Because, like, one of the fallouts of that was a bunch of subreddits got taken over by hackers and turned into pro-Trump subreddits.
Yeah, I honestly didn't even see that happen, but it's pretty funny that's a thing that happened.
Yeah, I didn't see it happen until, like, I guess it happened while I was at work and the problem was fixed before I got home. So yeah. By the time I got home, the discussion of the fallout was what was going on.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
I mean, I think that's the problem with the subreddit is, you know, I guess, like, I don't know. I mean, I get it, because for whatever reason, in anime, you know, anime is very fucking weird, you know, and so there are weird things, but at the same time, like, there's definitely guys that like to dress up as girls, and I don't know what to say about it. It is what it is, but I don't think it's overly offensive to use. At the end of the day, I think it's, you know, I think it's about what your intent is. I mean, if you're purposely trying to, you know, hurt somebody's feelings, then obviously any word can be offensive in that, you know, you could call somebody a cow and it's offensive.
Yes.
So, like, what are we, you know, you could ban almost any word from being used. It's more on how it's used, you know, what the intent of the message is.
Right, and there's, like, this video that's popped up in my recommended a few times, and I watch it every single time because it's hilarious and it's like 9 seconds long. But it's like at an anime convention, and like the guy's filming, and he goes up to a girl in like a maid outfit, and he's like, "Damn, baby girl, what's your name?" And he's like, "And it's super, it's Felix."
Oh my god, that is, I remember it, dude. That video is hilarious.
And the guy's like, "Oh shit, man, I'm dying! Like, fuck!
Yes.
I just hit on a dude." But like the thumbnail is an up close of Felix's face, and I'm like, "Yeah, Felix is pretty hot. Makes a pretty hot maid. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna get all like weird and like homophobic about it. Like, Felix makes a pretty hot maid. I will like under. I don't blame the dude for going up and trying to, you know, get the girl's name.
Yeah,
you know, because he had a wig on and." The dress and, like, you know, but yeah, it's like, oh, actually, it's Felix. in like the deepest voice possible. But then the guy also didn't get like mad, like he didn't try to like you know, like blame the person, like it's your fault, I'm gonna kick your ass, you know. And that's when I guess the word trap would be offensive, but like based versus like, oh man, I thought you were a girl, man, you're pretty hot, like you trapped me, like there, I guess that would be the difference in connotation of the using the, of the use of the word.
Yeah.
So, oh man, but then you watched an anime, Sean, and I ended up being able to catch the first two episodes.
Yeah, I ended up, again, in my lazy, because that's been most of the problem is I've been watching a lot of dub versus sub, and it feels like I'm running out of options at this point. There's like, I gotta stop being lazy and get back to, because I do have some stuff locked up for sub that I do want to watch that don't have dub versions. But anyways, Outbreak Company. So somehow Japan has figured out that there is a portal to another world, and what they want to do is spread Japan culture through the country, and they decide they want to break out their anime and manga. They want to provide Otaku life. Otaku life, correct. Otaku life. And so like they basically like put up a survey, and this kid answered like 100% correct, and they select him, and he starts teaching like this country, this different realm about anime and whatnot, and it just kind of takes off from there. And it has like its own dramas and stuff, but you know, I think about at the end of the day though, it's a fair 7. It's entertaining to watch, but it's not like it's nothing groundbreaking or original, or it's got some good funny parts that make you chuckle through the series. You know, the main character doesn't have like any like superpowers or anything. Gets himself out of a couple questions. I think from the dub version though, man, dude, the princess is super annoying to listen to because she's like constantly yelling in like a high pitched voice. So
the sub version isn't any different.
Oh my god, dude, I just want to like beat my head against the wall. It's just like, Jesus, like, calm the fuck down.
Right, because, I mean, she's 16 and an emperor. How dare you question her, you impotent pig?
I question everything. Nothing is safe. Ching!
Right, you know, there was a couple things, though, I will call bullshit about this show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's supposed to be, like, this otaku expert, and, like, part of the itinerary to get this job is he had to, like, take this like 200 question quiz, and he was like the first person to master it, like ace every question. And he like is like a shut-in, and they're like, well, why'd you decide to become a shut-in? And so he's like, I had a fallout with a friend. And then they show what the fallout was, that he confessed his love to the friend, and she's like laughed at him and called him an otaku. And it's like, first of all, he didn't go full incel and like call her a bitch or anything like that. And second of all, like, he actually like appears to like be hygienic. Like, he bathes and uses deodorant. So that's my other like bullshit that I call.
He's not true.
Right. There's not one speck of hair on his neck. There isn't a fedora to be seen, or a trilby that he calls a fedora, even worse. Mm-hmm. He's never called anyone in the show m'lady. I mean, he did have a body pillow, but he didn't take it with him.
I mean, he did nerd out with the half elf girl and beast girl and stuff,
and the maid.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, like he did like kind of lose his shit a little bit, so that is true, like just the awkwardness of that. But so in the second episode, he kind of starts to put together a list of like things he needs to the because there's no internet there, so they have to get everything either like downloaded onto a hard drive or like actual manga or mm-hmm. figure. So he basically turns like the study into the place where he's staying into like weeb heaven.
Right?
Just full of figures and books and like video games and stuff. And so, but I paused it on the screen when they had like five recommendations on there. Did you pause on there?
No, I did not.
I did, because one of them caught my eye right away, and I'm like, okay, like they can't use they're referencing real animes, but they can't use the names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Attack on Giant was one of them. Like those five, and I didn't recognize the other three, but these two made me laugh. So Attack on Giant, and the other was The Devil as a Civil Engineer.
Wait.
Instead of Devil as a part-timer?
Oh, as a civil engineer. Oh, yeah.
As a civil engineer. Like, basically, the devil had to get a job.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, dude, that series is so good, man. I just hate when they, like, don't ever make, like, season two.
Right?
Dude, that is the worst thing. I blame the Japanese. They don't do season twos and threes.
Or they do, like, 11 seasons.
Yeah, or they do 11 seasons of something that should have stopped a long time ago.
Right.
Dude, it's super annoying.
But then the other thing I liked was, like, they have it filmed, so there's, like, commercial breaks. And so going to and from commercial, they pop up different characters, and they have their, like, character screens.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read those?
No, I didn't.
Because they have on there, they have what their favorite anime is and who their favorite character is.
Oh, nice.
But they're all in-world animes and characters. So it's like, but I'm sure they're probably like references to real life stuff, like the Attack on Giant and the Devil is a Simple Engineer.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it is, I mean, it is set like in a world where there is an emperor or empress and, you know, there's like, servants, and there's like definitely a caste system, and so him coming from Japan, even though there is kind of a feudal system there, it's not completely as obvious. And so when he starts to see like the empress like berate the maid for the sake of being a maid and also being like halfling trash, like he kind of gets angry because it reminds him when the girl laughed at him for being an otaku.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, like I said, I'm only two episodes in, it seems pretty interesting. I mean, it's not like, you know, the world's going to be changed by me watching it other than I'll get some laughs out of it. And, like, the end of the second... Did you watch the episode, like, at the end of the credits when they're, like, coming up on the next episode?
A little bit. There's, like, a lot of typically yelling and typical preview stuff.
Yeah, so this one, like, the second episode, like, the first one, the maid helped him with it, and, like... Well, he was, like, perving out on the maid, and she's like, oh, hey! And he's like, wait, what are you doing here? Like, got all defensive, and she's like, well, I was told to help you with this. And he's like, oh, yeah, I wasn't saying anything. And then the second one, the empress is there, and she's like, wait, I just watched the second episode. You treat her differently than you treat me. Why are you nicer to her? And also, I saw the script for the third episode. There's something happens between you and the big-tittied army girl. And he's like, wait, what? And so they seem to break the fourth wall a lot on this show, too.
Yeah.
At least two episodes.
That's funny, man.
So, Sean, you ready to feel bad?
Get the feel bad going.
Get the feel bad for a major worldwide corporation. Sean, you feel bad?
Nah.
So Disney has announced their first, like, loss in a quarter in, like, 20 years.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, man. Those Disney stocks I own, man, they're just going right down the toilet.
Right, and people are like when I saw it on Reddit, like the headline was like Disney struggles to fill in an Infinity Saga sized hole. Like basically, like of course they're gonna lose fucking money. Like they don't have like they had like the biggest movie ever that they for Marvel come out. Of course, nothing's gonna make the profits for that. You know,
dude. You know what's funny is like. I bought Disney shares for, like, $98, and it's already back up to, like, $130. Like, you know, they're, like, crying with $50 bills instead of $100 bills.
Right. And so, you know, but like, they're supposed to have all their TV shows come out on Disney Plus, and I guess they're really pushing Disney Plus because they announced that they're not going to come out with any more physical copies of DVDs to buy of their live-action product, including the stuff that Fox made. So like people are like, wait, what about like for the 4K resolution?
Yeah.
And it's like they're like, we have streaming services for that, and they're like, yeah, but nobody can stream at 4K, like barely. Like you have to have like super like expensive or really good internet, and like 98% of the country doesn't have that option. You know, to stream at like 25 gigabytes an hour.
Yeah.
To get 4K the whole time. Like, because even like with VRV, there's times where it's like I'm like watching it through like a cloud, and then it'll clear up to HD, and then it'll go back to being fuzzy again.
Yeah.
On my TV, at least. I don't notice it on my phone screen because it's smaller. So, but one of the things that Disney is doing, I guess, to fix their money problem is they're putting Mulan on Disney Plus.
Oh, shit.
But it's not part of the subscription for Disney Plus.
What?
You have to pay to watch Mulan on Disney Plus.
Okay, now that's ridiculous.
And it's like $30 to watch Mulan on Disney Plus.
What?
Yes.
That's some bullshit right there.
Yeah, people aren't very pleased with that decision, yes. And so, but that's how they plan on getting their to get back to weeping with $100 bills instead of $50 bills, Sean.
Gotcha.
They got to wipe their ass with 20s instead of 50s because they use more of them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm terrible.
But I did watch a couple movies this week, Sean.
What'd you watch, man?
You know, the one thing that like these superhero movies is doing, because there's so many of them and they're like hiring all these actors, and so whenever I see watch a movie and you're like, oh hey, it's this character and this character in a movie together. And so like anymore, like it's hard to find a movie that doesn't have at least one Marvel or DC character, mm-hmm. you know, actor. But then every once in a while you hit like a movie like 12 strong, and basically the story is of the first 12 soldiers sent into Afghanistan after going to go after bin Laden after the attacks on September 11th. And this one has Thor, Zod, and I don't even know his name in the movie, but it's Ant-Man's friend that tells all the stories, Michael Pena.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Shannon and Chris Hemsworth. It's, you know, it's a pretty good movie, man. Like, Michael Shannon is probably one of the greatest actors alive. There's a skit that he did from our College Humor where he reads an email that a sorority president sent out to her, the members of the sorority. And it just like sounds like the crazy ramblings of a crazy person. And he fucking reads it like exactly like that. And like, as the video's starting up or whatever, it's like, they explain what it is. Like this email was written by this person, president of this sorority to her members. It contains the phrase cunt punt. And so she basically, she like, you know, like if they don't, basically at some point she threatens that if they don't fall in line, that she's going to just give anyone who offends will be given a cunt punt. Oh, and it also has Rob Riggle, who for a while was on The Daily Show when Jon Stewart was there, but he was also, he's a veteran. And so, but it's a pretty good movie, man. Like, it kind of shows you the struggles that they had to face, like, especially dealing with, you know, even though Afghanistan's like one country, it's basically a bunch of tribes, kind of like how Scotland was in the time of William Wallace with Braveheart.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tried to get his army together to fight England, and everyone kind of had their own agenda. And so he kind of they have to deal with that. Like they meet up with one person, but the U.S. doesn't think that that's going to work. So then they send troops to this other guy, a rival. And they're like, shit, man, he's going to like abandon us if he finds out, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not like super happy ending, but it definitely, I mean, it's, from what it sounds like, it's fairly true. Like, the mission was recently declassified, and that's how it was able to be made into a movie, because when they came home, like, nobody was, like, it was super classified, and, like, basically they just had to come home like nothing happened. Like, they couldn't tell their family or anybody what they did over there, why they were there. They just had to, like, know that they were there, like, overseas. But, yeah, I recommend it if you're, like, especially if you're into, like, war movies or just drama. Michael Pena's, everybody's good in it. Michael Pena, Chris Hemsworth, all the, mm-hmm. you know, you actually care about all 12. It's not like, you know, usually in a movie like 12 strong, like there's actually like 11 strong and one cannon fodder.
Hmm.
Right? You're like, oh yeah, that guy is going to be, if anyone dies, it's going to be that guy, because like they've only shown him on screen like twice in the like last, in the first hour of the movie. Like, you're not supposed to care about him. But then I watched a movie with Shia LaBeouf.
Shia?
Called Man Down. The description of the movie kind of does a disservice to the movie, because it's like the description was a Marine goes to Afghanistan and comes back, and his wife and kid are missing, and the world is like torn apart, right? And so, but basically it's more like him dealing with his PTSD and what he sees versus what's really going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of this is in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good movie. And it, so it has Shia LaBeouf, Kate Mara, if you've seen the movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, or she was also in the movie We Are Marshall, where the football team like dies in the plane crash.
I didn't watch those movies.
Yeah, her sister is Rooney Mara. She was in like the girl with movies, the girl with the dragon tattoo, the girl with whatever else they have.
Gotcha.
So then Gary Oldman is in it. Jai Courtney is in it, who played Captain Boomerang in the Suicide Squad movie, and he was in Divergent, and he played Kyle Reese in the Terminator Genesis movie that officially didn't happen anymore because they wiped it off the timeline with the newest Terminator movie. And a character actor who's been in like everything, Clifton Collins Jr. Pretty amazing actor. He's not in it that much, but he's really good in everything he's been in. So many movies. Mm-hmm. He was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like, if I see his name on a, he was one of the, X20, we made a reference to him, his character earlier. He was one of the vegan police in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh.
But he wasn't the Thomas Jane. Thomas Jane is the one that says, you were once vegan. No, that was Michael Sarah. You were once vegan. Now you will be gone. Both bringing it back, Sean. Unintentionally.
Exactly.
But yeah, definitely, definitely recommend watching Man Down. The director is Dito Montiel. He was like in a punk band and did a bunch of other stuff, but then his first movie that he made in 2003 called A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints. Basically, it's his life story, but he directed it. It actually has Shia LaBeouf and Channing Tatum. Like, Shia LaBeouf plays him as a kid, and Channing Tatum plays his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then Robert Downey Jr. plays him as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, 2003 is when the movie came out. Really, 2006 is when the movie came out. The book came out in 2003. So, yes, that's actually a really good movie. Young Channing Tatum, when he was probably barely legal, if you're into that thing. And then the last movie I watched is an animated movie called Spies in Disguise with Will Smith and Tom Holland. Basically, the story is Will Smith is like the super spy, and Tom Holland's like this like super smart kid that graduated from MIT when he was 15, but like he doesn't want to make weapons. He wants to make peaceful ways to solve problems, and he ends up turning Will Smith into a pigeon. The cast of voice actors in this movie is really good, which kind of sucks because there used to be a time when voice actors actually got jobs. Like, you would normally like hire one or two like known actors for the main roles, and then the rest of the cast would be filled in with voice workers, you know. But so this one has, besides Will Smith and Tom Holland, it has Rashida Jones, Ben Mendelsohn, who was in Ready Player One, the villain,
mm-hmm.
Reba McEntire, Karen Gillan, who was also in the Avengers movies and Guardians of the Galaxies, and most importantly, Sean, DJ Khaled. But, you know, I ended up watching. My wife wanted to watch it, so I
Your wife?
My wife. My wife. Yes, my wife wanted to watch it, so I'm like, all right, we'll watch it together. We'll check it out. I mean, it's got good cast. It can't be that bad.
True.
It's actually a lot funnier than I thought it would be. I kind of dreaded watching this movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite get as touchy-feely as the Lego movies, but it definitely has those moments. It's like an hour and 45 minutes long, so I'm like, wow, this movie, like, as I'm watching it, it's like, this movie could probably be shorter, and then I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, never mind, it's, like, the perfect length. There's a lot of, like, really funny moments. There's a couple jokes that are, like, I guess, intended for the adults. There's a, you know, part where he's, like, in the transformation of human from human to pigeon. Will Smith looks, and he has, like, one tiny hand. And then he, like, looks down the front of his pants and kind of, like, makes a face, and then they kind of cut away. So, yeah. I don't know, man. It's, you know, when, one of the last times I went out to visit my, wife's family in North Dakota, talking to her, brother's kids, I asked them if they'd watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and they're like, oh, you mean the animated thing? And it's like, okay, yeah, that's true. There's a lot of people that, like, just see, you know, something's animated and completely dismiss it for no reason. But like this movie, with some of the stuff they did, this could not be a live action movie just because it's physically impossible to film those scenes without having the budget be like ridiculous.
Yeah.
I had to look up the composer, the musical composer, because I thought maybe it was like Ben Shapiro, the right wing conspiracy nut job dude. I thought it was his dad.
Oh.
Because there's a couple videos of him making the claim and then having to back it up of him saying that hip hop is not music. And like one of his sources is that his dad graduated with a degree in musicology or whatever, music theory.
Mm.
And so I thought, well, I'm like, well, shit, if his dad graduated with a degree, maybe he's like a music composer, but he's much too young to be Ben Shapiro's dad. He's like only a couple years older than me. So no such luck on that for the Shapiro family. So, but yeah, I all those movies, 12 Strong, Man Down, Spies in Disguise, definitely recommend giving them a watchy.
All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thanks for hanging out for another fantastic episode. Make sure you're catching us on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, all those fantastic places.
Yes, Untapped. Give us a review on the iTunes. Write words, not just click stars.
Star good.
Words better. Words bad.
Words bad. all right. We'll catch everybody next week.
Later.